and welcome to Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 37. My name is Winter, and I'll be the Elf Druid for the night. Let's introduce our Game Master.
Hi, I'm James, and I'm the GM. I don't know why, it always feels awkward when I do this.
James isn't used to being introduced. This is what the spotlight feels like, James. It's on you.
I hate it. So what happened last time on Sometimes Heroes?
Last time on Sometimes Heroes, I say, staring off into the middle distance as I try to remember what happened last time on Sometimes Heroes. Oh, last time on Sometimes Heroes, we got roped into shenanigans again.
Shenanigans!
The group is tentatively part of... How would you even describe that? Kind of some third-party espionage shenanigans.
A third party.
Outside of Hadrian's Empire or the Avzal Empire. And we're trying to stop the bad things.
Yeah.
So in order to deal with that from as many angles as possible, we are splitting up.
And what is Sariel up to as you return from your mosey with Lorien?
Probably a really good drunk nap. And
it is nighttime. You could take like an actual sleep.
Probably a really nice pass out. Yeah, that would be the logical thing to do. Inebriated Sariel is going to get a full night's sleep. And when she wakes up, we're going to work out logistics for getting back to the library.
That's a good point. How are you getting to the library? Zilgrada is pretty far away in the southeasterly direction.
Just for my own amusement, I'm looking at the map right now. Well, James, what are my options?
Behind door number one is getting on a caravan and trucking down the road, which would require you heading through Black Hill, then the Sanguine Fields, and then east to Zilgrada, the city that crosses the river. Behind door number two, you could just get on your horse and ride straight there, because there aren't any huge mountains in the way or anything. You just go across country. Number three, you could turn into a bird, because you have that ability now.
Oh, snap. Finally reach bird level. That's what whatever this level is. What level have I even? Worst players ever.
No, you guys are wonderful players. So you're all level 9 now. You now no longer have any restrictions on whether you can swim or fly. And there is a bird you have been around this whole time, which I am willing to just give you the form because you've observed it for 2 months now, which is Eve. You can turn into a barn owl now.
Aw, snap.
Is that what barn owls are?
I thought she was a burrowing owl.
Okay. Pygmy burrowing owl. That's what she is. Okay. You can turn into a small owl.
Small borb.
And you could fly there. You'd have to take pretty frequent breaks, but that would be the fastest way.
I think that'd probably be the route I would go, since time seems to be a little bit of an issue. And also, hey, let's break this bird thing in.
Okay, so you get your supplies together. Do you buy anything specific from the shops now that you're flush with cash?
Can't think of anything that I would really need. I think I am okay.
Okay. You get prepped for the journey. You get all packed. You say your goodbyes. Is there anybody in town that you want to bother before you leave?
Oh, goodbye hugs for Lorien.
Lorien gives you a tight hug, and in the morning it appears that she is heading off with Galena towards a keep east of Black Hill that she jokingly says is probably haunted.
It's definitely haunted. No, that's good. Hopefully those two will keep each other out of trouble.
Lorien says that's not likely.
I think that would be about it, saying farewell to the party members. Sariel worries about them, but she also trusts them be okay for the most part, probably.
Okay. Do you head out of town before you transform, or do you just step out into the street and burb?
Just like find the tallest tower, go up there in squirrel form. No, she would keep a lower profile. I am going to ride my horse out of town, give it some pats, and turn it loose, and then borb it up.
your horse gets a generalized idea of where you're going to be in a while and starts steadily grazing its way in that direction. You step out the north side of town so you can still be on top of the cliff when you orb up, so you can soar down for a little while. And as you get to the point where you are saying fond farewells to your horse, you stop and are patting its side. And from around you, the swarm of Googe appears from the undergrowth, sensing that you are about to leave, and swarms into your satchel.
Pocket spiders. Pocket spiders for days.
For a moment, you sense that they're not all here. There are some still out there.
Sariel will put out a mental call for them. One that's less of a request and more of a demand.
Several stragglers come out of the bushes nearby, and you can sense that, like, they are resisting you, but they come into the bag anyway. Whatever they're trying to do, you can still overpower them.
That's a little concerning.
You stand on the cliff for a moment, thinking about this, looking down into the hot mess of spiders inside your bag, before transforming into an owl and swooping down into the early afternoon sunlight. And you travel quite a while, having to pause and transform back every couple hours. Every time you do, you have cramps in your arms and pectoral muscles from all of the flapping you've been having to do. You realize that owls are not the best, like, long-distance flyers.
Why couldn't Eden have had a seagull for a familiar?
Or goose. That would be useful in combat, too. You travel all the way out of the Vlovale. You are now over these vast plains. You pass by seeing Black Hill in the distance. You're making incredible speed. This is one of the first times in a while you've really felt your progress as a druid. Before, this seemed beyond you, and you were always possibly a little bit envious of those druids who could take on aeronautic forms without freaking out or falling out of the sky because they couldn't really manage how do you fly. But every time you stop, the spiders try to get out of your bag, and as you continue to go on, it starts to take more and more effort to keep them there. And you know it's not because they're too hungry to go on existing, because spiders can live for quite a while without eating something.
It's just the kids in the back seat of the car that just get super antsy. They want to get out of
there. Are we there yet?
Except it's a colossal horde of spiders.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to continue on and hope this doesn't become a worse problem?
Should probably address this one way or another, sooner rather than later.
You are mulling this over as you soar through the darkness of a night, landing near a farm, realizing that this is probably the most pleasant and least obvious place to sleep, as everywhere is farmland and there's not a lot of places to seek shelter here. So you fly into the loft and transform back into your elvish self, the hayloft being comfortable and dry. Again, the spiders begin to mull about, pushing against your will.
Oh boy. So as... I want to say Sariel has probably known that this would become a problem at some point, even if she didn't want to bring it to the forefront of her thoughts. Now there's the question of how to deal with an unruly swarm.
It is uncomfortable, as it's not so much that they are a swarm and you are you, it's that you feel like your skin is trying to crawl away and do things that you don't want it to do. But also that your skin has needs? Question mark?
Some really, really interesting disassociation. Sariel's going to a meditation like her nightly meditations, where she can just put all her focus into getting rest. Instead, she's going to put all her focus into reaching out to this entity that is also somewhat part of her.
You start to feel the milling mass of legs in your bag.
And I think from that mental state of being very spread out, she is going to try to bring all of that back into herself, if that makes any sense.
You begin to focus on this. You actually lose the feeling that you had of your own body. And I want you to make a wisdom save real quick.
Sariel rolled a 26 for that wisdom save.
Alrighty then.
Get wrecked, my own consciousness.
Indeed. In a moment, you realize that you have taken control of these things at an intense and individual level. They swarm out of the bag. You know they're there because you're there. You look up from 1,000 tiny eyes, seeing yourself from 100 different directions. In a moment, you have a more pure understanding of what this thing is, and that if you leave it as a separate entity, it will undoubtedly grow to become larger than you and a threat to you. It would subsume you entirely if you do not consume it first or destroy it.
Sariel knows that this is going to be one of several morally questionable decisions that have been made regarding Gouge, and she understands that destruction would probably be the correct route.
Are you going to try to consume its power?
That is what I am going to try to do.
All right. With that wisdom save, you absolutely have the ability to do that. As the swarm in general, you march towards yourself, crawling up onto yourself until you are a mass of spiders yourself. And moments later, your body disappears underneath the mass. You have acquired the ability to shapeshift into a spider swarm. There is no longer Gouge. It is all you.
Sariel sits quietly for a moment, just kind of considering the implications of this. You know, the weighty moral implications of using Ettercaps. And then just kind of clearly, out of nowhere, is like, oh man, I can never ever use this in front of Gouge.
Clearly. You spend a moment after this meditation exploring the width and breadth of your ability, and you realize that if you spread out as the swarm too much, those spiders that extend beyond you, if they get beyond maybe 30 feet away from you, they stop being you. Transforming into a single animal is similar to you. It has wants, it has needs, but it's still a single thing. But transforming into a swarm, what happens when one of them is separated from you? Does it become an Ettercap again? To explore this, you send one of your swarm as far as you can away from you before it starts to get dim in your mind, your hive mind. And when it separates, you transform back and find it. When you look at it very closely, it is just an ordinary spider.
Huh, that is interesting, and probably for the best.
Although you feel like, not that you've taken damage, but like some aspect of you has left, is gone. Almost like you've been spiritually injured.
There's been a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
And you meditate for the rest of the evening and head out in the morning, of no concern to the farmers who toil in the early sunlight. As you traverse the countryside even further, you start to see familiar landscapes, and eventually, in the distance, the glint of a river, wide and slow and gentle. You know this to be the Varzuga, and only have to turn a little bit south before you see Zilgrada in the distance. Large, brick-red buildings towering up on either side of the river as you approach. How do you want to approach this city? Do you want to fly in, or do you want to walk in?
I think I'd like to fly in.
You soar over this city that you have never seen from this direction. It is strange, and it actually takes you a little while to recognize, oh yes, that is that street I got tea on, and that's the library. It looks so small from up here. Where do you land?
I would do a couple of laps around the library and the surrounding area, just kind of getting a feel for what's changed. Is there a park nearby, maybe?
There are several nature-y looking layouts beneath you. Roll an intelligence save. Actually, an investigation, as you were looking at them.
Sariel rolled a 9 in investigation.
There are 4 parks beneath you. You see couples linked arm in arm walking through a couple of them, and other ones have people lounging on blankets, eating picnics, as it is around noon.
Sariel will try to pick one she's pretty sure she's familiar with, and settle into the lower branches of a tree that's maybe a little bit further away from the couples and just general people wandering in the afternoon. And on that tree branch, she will resume elf form.
Hopefully it's a sturdy tree branch.
Still getting used to bird form. Gotta pick those branches carefully.
You land on a twig and think about turning back, and then look down and realize that's not going to help. And you hop over to a more significant branch and turn back into an elf. I want you to roll a stealth real quick to see if you can do this without anybody seeing you, as you are an owl at midday.
I am a stealthy owl at midday.
Yeah, you are.
20.
Regular 20. Unnatural 20. You fly in, land in a relatively large oak, find a hefty branch, and you are now sitting on it in the middle of this green, relatively expansive park with water running through it. There appears to be a little stream coming through it, but you're fairly positive that the stream is artificial.
That would be about right for this place. Ornamental.
Did you want to land near enough to this couple to, like, be able to overhear them or anything? Or did you want to be somewhere where you could get down without them noticing?
Yeah, somewhere a little more secluded.
Okay, you pop down from the tree, look around. There appears to be nobody in sight. You are within a walled area, but that's not unusual. There are lots of walls in the city.
Am I hungry?
You had a mouse on the way over. I don't know. You decide if you're hungry. You have rations as well.
Right, right.
Like, you could just pull out a loaf of hard bread and be, like, munching on it. Or you can be like, I'm hungry. I want to go hit up that restaurant I used to go to.
I want to say that this has been quite a journey, exploring a level of power that maybe Sariel wasn't even sure she'd ever really get. And now she's back in what's more or less her hometown.
You did spend almost 100 years of your life here.
It's a weird mix of excitement and apprehension.
You do realize that your dress is woefully out of fashion. Just from gandering at people from the sky, you've realized that, like, even if you kept your clothes from a long time ago, you would still look weird.
Fashion's changed like 20 times over. I think first thing on the agenda would be to get a light snack. And then, although Sariel's never been overly concerned with appearance, it would probably be a good idea to acquire some new clothes.
So how are you going about those things? Because the way I see it, you could do that as like a just walk out onto the street looking weird and like go buy some new clothes. Or you could be like, squirrel, go steal some stuff off of laundry lines.
Well, I'm assuming on my person, I've got some gold on me.
Yes, you have all your money and all your gear, as well as the ledger, so you have an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary to squirrel steal someone's...
I think the only purpose of that would be to not be seen in the first place, like, out of place, rather than because you don't have the money.
Maybe it's just because this used to be her old stomping grounds, even though at the time she wasn't particularly bold. Sariel's feeling a little ballsy. I think we're just going to try to find a stand that has some, well, not like really nice, but some presentable clothes, something she could go see other scholars in.
Okay, so you step out onto the street through a gate nearby. You look around and no guards. Yay, you were in a public park. Good job. The street is crowded and people, couples and other gentry, it seems like you are in a very nice part of town, seem to give you one take and then lift their nose and carry on as if you are not there for the most part. And within a short amount of time, you find a shop dedicated to clothing and step in. The proprietor, a pretty lanky hobgoblin, tall with a human alongside, both with the latest fashions, with a bunch of measuring tape over their arms. And the human has a needle in his teeth that he's working around. What can we do for you? This is no place for beggars.
I'm looking for a new set of clothes. Styles seem to have changed significantly in the time that I've been away. Something simple, but presentable.
They look down at you, and the human starts to step forward and be like, off with you, and the hobgoblin puts his hand to his co-worker's chest and says, can't you tell? She's clearly of the forest people. Of course we'll get you something perfect for you. Let me measure you. And he immediately like busts out the tape, starts measuring you, starts pulling some stuff out and holding it up to you. Describe how you look now as you are dressed up as, well, you realize that you may want to take a bath first before you dress up, but there are public baths in this city. But once you get all gutsied up, how does Sariel look now that she's no longer druided up?
I want to say a long dress, an ankle-length dress. And what season are we in?
It is fall, late fall.
So perhaps mid-length sleeves, sort of a flowing, softer material. The whole thing, sort of softer colors, maybe blue and cream.
The men at the shop congratulate your impeccable taste, and when you put forth money, which is a gold or two, they thank you very much and bow deeply as you leave. You get changed after using the public bath and step back out onto the street. This time, people spare you several glances.
There's that self-conscious feeling of being noticed after having spent a great deal of time trying not to be noticed. But that sort of feeling of confidence returns very quickly.
Okay, where are you off to? Oh, you wanted to get food. Do you go to somewhere familiar or try to find somewhere familiar? Or do you just go find the nearest shop and get some grub?
Sariel is going to want to head towards the library, definitely. And that'll put her on much more familiar ground. I think that I want to find an old noodle shop that I used to frequent. Somewhere that was sort of off the beaten path, but it was a place that both teachers and students liked to gather. I guess kind of one of those places that's not really underground, but isn't really well known of, at least the last time Sariel had been in the area.
As you step into this place, sliding the door open and stepping through and sliding it shut behind you, you see around you the place you expected. It's much older. Everything that was, you know, not old at the time, but well-maintained, now seems like it's broken down, and you see that it is in fact empty, and there are several goblins sleeping on the floor who snap their heads up at you and stare.
Good afternoon.
We will leave.
That isn't necessary.
they start to stand up and, like, slowly back away from you.
Can I roll an insight on that behavior? Or would Sariel know? Is this just, are they expecting trouble because I'm well-dressed?
Yeah, they're expecting trouble because you're well-dressed, and also they're squatting in a abandoned building.
So it's just straight-up abandoned. Gotcha.
As you are looking around the room, you see that there's quite a bit of detritus everywhere. Like, the tables are still there for the most part, but they've been moved around to make little tiny houses, kind of.
Home.
And in one corner, you see a pile of debris that is vaguely shaped like a cat.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Sariel will kneel, I guess, and make a placating gesture with her hands. Like, please, please wait.
They stop moving back, at least.
When I was last here, this was a good place to find food and also good talk. Do you know the city very well?
One of them seems to see this opportunity and steps forward, straightening its little back, and says, I am Nail. I know the city very well.
Hello, Nail. Do you know where someone might go to get a bite to eat and maybe find some information about the... how to express it? Do you know where someone might find a bit to eat and maybe overhear the newest gossip in the city?
What kind of gossip? What kind of talk?
Scholar talk, ideally.
Ah, book talk.
He looks and scratches his head. It would be a good name for a restaurant where all the students hang out.
The Searing Pot. I can show you where it is. Many students go there. Many teachers.
I would appreciate that very much.
He trots forward and opens the door for you.
Sariel would follow along.
He closes the door after you and then trots down the small alleyway that this restaurant was sort of nooked in. Takes you a couple streets down. This goblin clearly, like, sticks to the side of the road and is completely unnoticed by everyone around him. And you even realized when you first got here, they were around, but they're kind of hard to see. They're really good at staying in the background, but they're everywhere. He leads you to a place, and even before you get there, you see a trio of obnoxious teen hobgoblins walking by arm in arm, laughing, already drunk.
Sariel wrinkles her nose. She had almost forgotten about that aspect of college life.
But you get there. It appears to be a pretty classy establishment. Nail waits outside in a nearby alleyway and waves and points.
Sariel will look the place over and decide that that is, in fact, exactly the sort of place she was looking for. She knew it was kind of hit or miss with goblins. But no, Nail definitely knows his stuff. And she will head over to him and kneel near him and give him, like, a handful of coppers.
He bows repeatedly and, like, stays down until you do something else.
This is exactly the sort of place that I was hoping to find. Thank you very much. If I need any other help, can I find you at that old building?
Yes. Or you can find people who know where I am.
Thank you. Please take care of yourself. And Sariel will head towards, I've already goldfish memory the name, the Searing Pot?
The Searing Pot, yes.
And Sariel will head towards the Searing Pot.
As you step away, you hear a scramble. You step into this building. It's large. There's lots of tables, lots of chatter going on. It's a mixture sort of between two different sections. It seems like they're kind of cordoned off, like where the teachers are and where the students are. But it's clear that there's some overlap, like students and teachers who are eating together.
I guess how is the layout? Is there a main counter that I can approach?
Absolutely. And it is near the front door, and you are approached by a waiter who appears to be human. And he says, good day to you. What can I do for you today? Would you like to have a seat and some refreshment?
That would be excellent. Just a table, a seat for one, please.
He nods, takes you over to a table, and hands you a parchment with a menu on it. Are you trying to sit anywhere in particular to try to get a certain type of hot goss?
I would definitely want to be a little bit closer to the teachers than to the students.
Okay, you sit down, you start getting some food. They have pretty decent noodles here. Doesn't quite measure up to your memory of the other place's noodles, but they're all right. And I want you to roll a perception as you try to just pick up conversation in this room.
Sariel rolled a 12 in perception.
As you are sitting there quietly eating your noodles over the boisterous laughs and loud stories that the students are telling nearby, you can hear a couple of the teachers. They're sort of bad-mouthing another teacher, you're pretty sure. And you remember the name. They're bad-mouthing somebody you know. And they're bad-mouthing someone named Aro Etnis.
Aro
Etnis. Who you recall as being sort of a slouch. A student who was there right before you left, who, as you were pretty good at tagging this by the time you left, you're like, this guy's going to flunk out and go back home in shame. But they seem to be referring to him as a teacher of his own school, which means he somehow acquired the rank of Grand Magus.
This means several potential things to Sariel. The least ominous is that he got his act together and started to study real, real darn hard right before she left, or right after she left, rather.
Yes, you do recall him sleeping in the library and usually specifically to sleep off hangovers and not studying ever, just with a book open in front of him that he would pull off at random, which was very frustrating for you who had to put them back.
Although Sariel's time at the library was basically glorified captivity, she was extremely fond of books and kind of understood that her station did mean something within that institution. So she doesn't have very fond memories of this person. And now she's extremely suspicious that they did things, that there's some academic dishonesty going on.
Gasp.
Aro Etnis, a teacher now of his own school. Well, that is interesting.
In addition to that, you hear that someone, they are just telling a story that is particularly uproarious to the other students. Someone failed to polymorph an animal and instead turned it inside out, and the gore just will not clean out of the teacher's smock, and they just think it's hilarious.
Oh no.
Other than that, it's hard to get conversations, and you do get a whole bunch of just, you've been in this situation long enough to know that people are just talking about other students and bad-mouthing them, but there's a lot of talk that people say that other students are not as competent as they say they are. But other students protest that you can't argue with results. And it goes on sort of like that in general from the student section. There's a lot of jockeying of people talking themselves up and others down.
Not much changes.
So now that you're fed and gotten a minimal amount of goss, where are you headed next?
That whole thing with Aro is interesting. But I think Sariel is going to stay the path and check in the library.
Okay, you head towards the library. At the front of it, there is a guard, as this is a government building. And as you're walking through the streets to this place, you pass by a number of individual schools, all managed by a master or grand magus. But as you get to the library itself, the grand wooden doors stand open, but there is a soldier in front who holds his hand out. Do you have authorization, miss?
Sariel reaches into her satchel, and she carries a leather-bound book that's sort of a combination sketchbook, diary, just for jotting notes or for passing the time on long evenings. Tucked into those pages, surprisingly clean and well-preserved, except for the edges, which are sort of rough and weathered, are her old papers. Her
documentation for her position at the library, as well as the papers for her time in service and subsequent citizenship.
This guy would only be asking for the "you belong here" papers, but as you show them to him, he looks down and sees the date and goes, I think you need to renew these every 10 years. I don't think I can let you in. He like squints at you and he's like, I almost don't believe this. You don't look a day over 100. He continues to stare just in disbelief at just how out of date your paperwork is as a young hobgoblin emerges from the doors behind him. Only passes a glance at you, but then does a double take and turns. He has dark auburn hair and looks as if he's maybe in his late 20s. You see his family crest on his clothes. He is of the Colgrey family, and he turns to you and he says, wait, Sariel? Is that you?
Sariel will smile and give a small wave. Hello.
He smiles and pats the guard on the shoulder, and she's welcome here, always. Just let her in. And he's like, but her, hey, and then he just pulls you inside. And the young man offers his arm to you as he starts heading down the long hall in front of you. He looks to you and smiles pearly whites with fangs and says, do you remember me?
You were much, much younger, Sariel would say as she takes his arm.
I'm surprised I remember you. I was, what, 8 when you left?
Probably right around that.
I cried so much. Such a baby then.
Oh.
And now look at me. He like flexes in the middle of the hallway and a bunch of people look at him like he's a madman.
You've grown up. Thank you for saving me from the potential bureaucratic runaround.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you would have had to waste all day at the constabulary getting that thing renewed. But we can do that here, too. Which is weird, because they won't let you in to renew it unless you're already up to date. Isn't that weird?
Such is the state of government, I suppose.
Indeed. So, you will recall his name as what?
Silas.
He smiles broadly at you. It's like, you do... I thought you might have forgotten. I knew you cared about us. You were always so nice to our family. I mean, we were all very sad when you left, but we understand that you wanted to see the world. We're so glad you're back.
For a little bit, at least.
His face takes a little bit of a downturn, but his smile comes back. He says, well, while you're here, what can I do to help?
Sariel's expression goes from very lighthearted, for her almost bordering giddy, to much more somber.
Well, those faces don't look good. What's...
And I apologize, James. I am going to need just a little bit of prompting here. What I'm looking for in this place is just generally information, right?
They mentioned a couple things that you might want to look into.
There seems to be a connection between much of what you've dealt with so far in the campaign and the Avzal in general. And this is a city that is full of people who are training to be / are masters of the arcane. As well as the Bloodless Eye recently told you that some folk have been speaking up in disagreement to something that the Empress has planned and are being silenced.
Specifically, the Bloodless Eye said, I've been assassinating people who have been speaking out against a plan, and I only know this because I looked at their documents before I burned them like I was supposed to. And clearly our government is doing things, but we don't know why or for what.
How would Sariel approach this? I would be looking for... Oh, I'd be looking for places where dissenting opinions might be happening. That would be one approach.
So what do you tell Silas?
It's certainly a big world outside of these walls, outside of the city. And she'll sort of mull her words over a little bit. Things definitely aren't as simple as I thought they were. And I've come back to try to hopefully make sense of some of it.
Well, if there's any place you can do it, it's here. We have the largest repository of knowledge in the world. Also, I probably should have mentioned this before, but like, all the conversations you are going to encounter in the city are going to be in High Goblin, unless otherwise stated.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to ask in so many words, if there are schools in operation right now that are maybe going against what the government would find favorable, I guess.
Roll a persuasion to ask that in a reasonable way. That seems like a good question.
Sariel critically succeeded with that persuasion roll with a 21.
As you've expressed concern about the world and how strange it is, and then you start to inquire about schools and their reputations and whether they might be working within the purview of what the Empress herself would approve of, Silas looks concerned and says, let me get somebody to take care of your papers and we can talk in my office. And he hands your papers off to a young elvish girl who takes it and sort of looks wide-eyed at you and then trots away. And then you step into his office and he closes the door behind you and says, there have been a lot of rumors lately. You know that our mages are supposed to be trained in the arcane arts to understand and control the world for the betterment of the Empire, yes?
Yes, Sariel would nod.
And we base our choices of who advances based off of merit, and thus the schools have become more and more competitive, and those that cannot succeed on their own, often there are rumors that they've been looking to other sources of power. And this has always been floating around. As yourself, Sariel, you remember these rumors when you were still there. They've always been unusual events when someone would be caught making a pact with an extraplanar force, a demon or a fey, to gain power to help them keep up with the other more talented children or students. Silas continues, the word is some schools primarily teach this now. They choose and prod and poke and find out which force is best for each student to give them the best chance of success, the most power for their personality, rather than attempt to teach them the actual means of safe control of the forces that make up the world. And some schools have better reputations than others, but all of them are under suspicion for doing so.
At the mention that some schools are primarily teaching this, Sariel's eyebrows just raise an alarm. There's been talk of that, of people making pacts for a long time, but that is certainly an alarming development, if there's any truth to it.
What's more alarming is that occasionally they make a big show of hauling a student out into the street and loudly declaring his crimes, that he is consorted with demons or fae or what have you. And I thought, good, they're still cracking down. But then, not too long ago, I was on a trip, you see, to Ambergrad. And while I was there, I saw one of these students as a practicing magus. It seems that wherever they are being hauled off to, it merely just continues their training. Of course, I guess it's possible that he reformed, but I thought the punishment for that was death.
No, this definitely raises more questions than it answers, but it gives me a start, I think.
He looks kind of tired in his seat and puts his hand to his forehead.
And I know it goes without saying, but don't tell anyone I told you this.
Of course, of course. Sariel will say no, of course not. And for just a moment, even though he's a very tired young man, Sariel sees him as the 8-year-old she remembers. And she just sort of reaches over and very gently ruffles his hair.
He chuckles and looks up at you with, you know what? I missed that. It's good to see you again, Sariel. And it's odd sometimes when you don't realize that you've been missing something so deeply. Anyway, if you'd like to get dinner later, you're welcome at our estate. Or if you'd rather not see the whole family, we could arrange another time to meet. But I would like to see you more and talk.
I'd like that as well. I'm not entirely sure where the day will take me.
You're leaving after today?
Oh, no. Just that there's a great deal to be done.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be here. You know where to find me. And our estate hasn't moved either. I'm sure you could find it as well.
Sariel will laugh. A great deal has changed, but it's good to know that some things stay the same.
Indeed. He looks down at his desk and you see just like a bunch of paperwork that he's clearly not keeping on top of.
Oh no.
And he says, well, I was planning on knocking off for the day, but seeing you reminds me that I should do my homework. And he pulls out a pen and smiles broadly at you. I hope to see you later, but I shall get to work and your paper should be done any moment. You can pick them up at the bursar's.
Thank you. You've been an immense help, and hopefully I'll see you later this evening.
It's nothing for the woman that raised me.
Oh.
And you step out over to the bursar's office. They look at you, look at the description on the card. You get a fresh new folded authorization for being here.
Nice. Thoriel will tuck that into her book.
Okay. What are you doing with the rest of your day, as it is getting to be late afternoon, if not evening?
Sariel is going to want to go have a chat with Aro.
Are you going to the Etnis Academy of Magic and the Arcane?
I think that would probably be the quickest way to make my inquiry.
You head down the street, and it's getting kind of late. People are going around, quite a few students on the street. Some of them bar hopping, some of them rushing around with books under their arms. But you get several blocks away before seeing a relatively newly constructed building is, so far as you can tell, no more than 10 or 15 years old. And as you approach, there is a large gate with runes over the entrance, and then in Goblin, a big sign declaring who it is.
What would be the customary way to request entrance into a place like this? Do I just roll in until someone stops me?
To be invited, or have someone, or like write ahead and get an appointment. It's very much uncouth to just walk in on people.
Show up. Hey, nerd, I remember you.
Exactly. And you have time. It took you about 4 days to get here as a burb, which was extremely fast. Should have taken you about a week on foot or by horse.
Well, I think for now, I will just make a mental note of where it is at.
Okay, you casually walk by and scope the place.
Does it smell like brimstone? No, I'm joking.
It smells like hella brimstone.
Knew it!
No, you walk past the place and it seems relatively mundane. You see a student step out who looks kind of tired, but he like turns down and goes towards an area of town that you know has a bunch of dorms, except they are families that keep up houses where students can stay.
Gotcha, gotcha. I'm not gonna lie, out of character, I am slightly stumped.
It is always okay to be like, I'll come back tomorrow, or I will go send a letter tonight. Or you can be like, I'm gonna give you some out of character suggestions. You could go follow this kid and see what he's up to. You could jump over the fence as a squirrel and sneak around the building.
Just squirrel it up.
you could do the straight and narrow route, which is like go back to the library and be like, hey, Silas, can you send a letter for me to like get an appointment tomorrow? And then just go to sleep somewhere.
Let's play by the rules for now. I think I am going to head back and ask for a letter requesting a visit.
You mean from Silas?
Yes.
Okay. So you head back and he agrees. And he also first invites you to come stay at the estate and sleep in one of the guest rooms. But if you look uncomfortable at that, he says you could also stay here in the servants' quarters if you like.
I'll accept the second one. I spend some more time in the library and avoid potentially awkward situations.
Okay, you get to the servants' quarters, and it is some flashbacks. In the hallway, you didn't spend a ton of time there. You mostly spent your time in the stacks and in the servants' quarters. You get there, and it is exactly the same. It's just almost entirely all the different faces, except for one as a elvish woman with brown hair and square spectacles advances on you, almost predatory-like, and stares you up and down. What are you doing here? You left.
Oh my, I'm assuming that I recognize her.
This is Telly Uvan. You can see that she is now the senior librarian. She has the proper clothes for that. You think you can just come back in here whenever you please?
Sariel is fighting the urge to just verbal catbats.
Are catbats ever a bad decision?
Sometimes catbats aren't appropriate.
If you say so.
Sariel isn't even going to directly address her claims. She'll look librarian Uvan up and down. You seem well.
She silently blusters for a moment before saying, you can't just... you infuriate me. You never took your job seriously. And you come back here, and you think you're going to be the head honcho around here now just because you're senior to me? You left. You don't get to be a senior librarian. I am. I own the stacks.
Sariel, who has been smiling just ever so slightly, the expression drops a little bit at the implication that she didn't take her job seriously.
Cutting words. Take 1d4 psychic damage.
It's about to get real. No one owns the stacks, Yvonne. Those books and that knowledge are for everyone. But I'm glad to see that they've come under the hand of a capable caretaker. I'm not here to challenge your place. I've only come for what this place offers, which is knowledge.
Oh, do you need help finding a book? She turns her head, and at this point there's like all the servants just sort of surrounding you. But I want you to make a persuade, because that was a pretty good try to defuse the situation.
I rolled a 6. But honestly, I've been rolling so good all night. If I lose the cat fight, it's fine. Or if I start the cat fight, it's fine.
Woo! Turn into a cat. Do it.
Literal cat fight.
Maul her face. You think I'm joking. I'm all for it.
No.
You don't have to keep your cool all the time. Bear just... might be a little bit overworked, though.
Yeah, so that librarian we had, the one that left to go, like, explore the world, she turned into a bear and mauled our current librarian, and this is why we shouldn't hire elves.
It's a good argument.
But yes, I rolled a 6 in persuasion, so I'm going to assume she's not terribly persuaded.
No, she is not persuaded, and is in fact heckling you more. And she is getting some degree of support from the other people, who she has clearly fed some negative stories about you, as they mean mug you.
Sariel puts on her most professional face, and it's been a while since she's had to use this. And it's been a while where she's felt she was in the position to use this. But she just levels this look of aloof disdain at Uvan. And then perhaps even more at the people that are joining in, this look of your station expects better from you, and you should know better.
Your opinions roll to shame.
Your opinions are bad, and you should feel bad.
Yeah, roll intimidate to shame them.
Oh, jeez. Sariel rolled an 11 in intimidation.
The crowd around is clearly shamed. They realize that they're acting out of station, and also a couple of them realize that, like, oh, like, Silas really likes her. And then a couple of them were like, oh, they, like, leave. But Uvan is still in your face and says, I would do something even further beneath my station if you stay here in my face.
Sariel reaches out and very, very gently head pats her. Uvan?
Uvan, in time you will realize that not everything is a challenge to your authority.
This is one last persuade before you get slapped.
Oh no. Headpats is going to make this worse. We're definitely into cattiness territory now.
Uh-oh. Oh, you're throwing down. Let's do this. Roll initiative.
No, sorry, I rolled a 14 in persuasion.
Roll initiative!
No! Wow, okay. I guess this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where's my character token? Don't I have to click?
No, there's only two people in this combat. We don't have to worry about that. Also, you are fighting a librarian, so I'm pretty sure you're going to do okay.
As a combat-tested druid, you know that killing this woman would be no contest. Unless she's been, like, secretly taking lessons on combat magic this entire time, you're pretty sure you know exactly what she can cast, which is Blight, Message, Mending,
Comprehend Languages, and Alarm.
Oh no, I also beat her initiative with a 21.
Okay, what do you do? She's reaching behind her back and picking up a heavy book that she clearly intends to clock you with.
Oh gosh. Sariel will grab her wrist before she has the opportunity, turning her previous disdainful glance up to 11. She will get right in Yvonne's face and say, "You will not use this library's books for violence in your petty squabble. That's going to be a phone book or something."
Yes. A sending book. Just the names of all the people you could cast sending on. Make that a grapple, because she's not listening to reason at the moment. You've gotten off three social rolls against her, and she's just gotten more angry now. A contested athletics roll.
Sariel rolled a 17.
You grab her hand, just like snap out, and she looks down at you, kind of shocked at the quickness, and you're dressed the way you might have been when you left, and she doesn't know what you've been doing while you were gone.
Merkin people. I straight kill fools now.
The look in your eye, the fact that you, without any effort, stop her and, like, twist her arm behind her back, she yelps in pain, and even though you're, like, very gently doing this, drops the book and you catch it out of her hand. It was actually a encyclopedia kind of thing. Wasn't an extra important tome, but it's something that she could absolutely get in trouble for disrespecting. And you have her at your mercy, as the rest of the servants look on in shock, but a couple of them, you can see them just nodding.
This actually kind of works out, because Sariel wanted to slip out anyway. Still very much in Yvonne's face, Sariel is going to calmly speak. "I understand why you might feel threatened by me, and I understand that you might be upset that I left for so long and suddenly returned, and that you might not want me here at all, but I have business here, and I am going to see that business done. Tonight, though, I don't think I want to be in your presence any more than you want to be in mine, so I'll find my lodging elsewhere and give you the evening to consider your actions and your demeanor, and I'll release her. Hopefully not get clocked in the face."
She stumbles away, rubbing her wrist, and looks around and sees that everybody's looking for her to make a retort, and she just, like, is strangling on her rage, but stalks away.
"I think for the evening, I think I'd like to touch bases with goblin buddies."
Okay. You head back to this abandoned building, this time just getting a couple of jeers from drunk hobgoblin students making reference on how attractive you are.
Ignored.
You get to this abandoned building and step in through the sliding door that's a little rackety and get a similar reaction. But as you step through, Nail scurries over to you and says,
"What can I do for you, my lady?"
Sorry, old Neil. Man, now I'm debating if I want to just straight up spend the night here. I think I kind of do.
You absolutely can. You could even meditate here. Just, like, sit down and chill as these goblins sleep around you.
I'll meditate. If it's all right with you, I just need a place to rest for a little bit tonight.
Make a persuade. Is there a number of ways they could take this?
Uh-oh. Rolled a 19 in persuasion.
Nail immediately turns around and just starts barking orders in low goblin, sort of hissing them out quietly so as to not be too loud.
No.
And they clear a space for you, put down what clearly is kind of a threadbare sheet on the ground.
Oh.
You will sleep safely.
Are they actually leaving, or are they just kind of, like, making space?
They're making space.
Okay.
And they're sort of, like, moving their little accommodations a little bit further away from the space they made.
Sorry, I will take up a meditative position just with her feet kind of tucked under her and her hands folded palm up in her lap.
You, as you are aware of your surroundings, know that for several hours, the goblins sort of like observe you at the point that they realize that you're not going to move because one of the braver ones comes out and like waves his hand in front of your face. They eventually back up and leave you alone, but you do hear at some point later in the night, a couple of them get together near the little statue and start murmuring mantras to the cat statue.
Oh no.
The Sariel is wise. The Sariel is powerful. The Sariel protects us.
Little dudes, no.
We will follow your decrees.
But the morning comes, and when you're meditating, you refresh yourself a lot faster than when you sleep. And you are rearing to go before the sun even rises. I'm assuming you made your appointment for early in the morning with this guy?
Yeah. Before I leave, can I ask Nail about the statue?
Yeah, sure. You can ask him about the statue. He looks at it and then looks at you and makes this little janky, fangy smile and says,
Goblins are small and we have small gods.
Sort of awkwardly laughs.
So what sort of thing would a god of goblins ask of their followers?
Stay in the shadows. Survive. We watch the stray cats. Goblins from afar have told us of the Sariel.
Sariel will nod quietly. None of this seems particularly alarming. Like, the whole thing is alarming, but none of it seems like real bad. And she would ask, and what would goblins ask of that sort of god?
To survive another day, a morsel to eat. Small prayers for small god.
Sariel will nod. Small prayers, but good prayers.
He nods, like, yeah, good prayers.
So I guess let's get to this meeting.
Okay, you head out. You realize that you smell a little bit funky. It's not their fault. It's just kind of hard to not have a room get stunk up if you sleep in it all the time without ever bathing.
Do I have time for a quick public bath, or is that a no?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, you have time. Let's do that. Let's
especially since you woke up super early.
Let's magically Febreze the clothing.
Yes. You know, you buy some perfumes that will, like, cover up the smell on the clothing. But you head to this school, and you sent a request to be there, and they know that you're going to be there, but whether they actually accept you in is sort of up for grabs. So you straighten your clothing outside the front and step in. In the middle is this kind of front garden that's clearly meant to look impressive, and it does. But you walk up to the main door and knock. A moment later, a young hobgoblin, maybe like 12 years old, opens the door. He's clearly an initiate. And he bows deeply, looks back, and says,
"You are Sariel, I presume?"
"I am."
"Master Etnus said he would meet with you. He is in his office. I will take you there now."
He folds his arms after closing the door behind you and walks off down a hall. You can see students inside rooms meditating and the like. Some of them practicing various spells, lights, and strange smells and sounds come out of various rooms. But you come to a large office and open it, and there is a man behind the desk who's late middle age, got a full head of white hair. It seems a little early for hobgoblins to get such complete white hair. He has one hand up on the desk that is twitching repeatedly, and he stares at you.
Sariel does not have any kind of detect magic or detect good and evil spell. But when we were dealing with the portals, the bad was just so overwhelming that she could kind of pick up on it anyway. Is there anything like that going on right now?
No, there isn't. Roll an insight, though, as you are just sort of generally trying to feel if there's any bad stuff going on. Do you feel skin crawly or not, is the insight, really.
Sariel rolled a 14 for insight.
This guy looks, as you are just a person who've regarded a lot of people over your life, this guy looks like he's scared. Like, he's looking around the room, his eyes dart occasionally to corners, and his nervous demeanor betrays him as he might be seeing things.
Interesting.
But as you stand in the entrance and let your senses draw in the room, he eventually speaks.
What do you need?
Forgive me, Etnus. It's been so long since I last saw you. I hope this isn't a bad time.
He blinks pretty hard twice.
You weren't that librarian. You always got mad at me for not putting my books back.
You were always one of the more interesting pupils. It's good to see that you've managed to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I have. Why are you here?
Sorry, I'll pause for a moment. I was visiting the library, and heard that one of the students that I remembered from so long ago had their own school now.
Surprised?
Saria will smile softly. A little bit. But it's not terribly unusual for someone to turn themselves around. And perhaps you did your studying a little bit more intensely than you did when I caught you napping in the stacks.
He smiles and then frowns and then smiles and then frowns. It's a very unsettling face to witness, and stands up, hoisting a cane from right next to him.
You know what? I've heard your name in my dreams.
Oh, what sort of dreams?
Well, clearly prophetic dreams. You know what? I never did talk to you very much. Is there anything? You know what?
He leans back against his desk, now standing but leaning his butt against the front side of it as he stepped around.
Why don't you tell me about yourself? It was rude of me to pass you by so many times without asking how your day was.
Sariel will give a small laugh. To some extent, the job of a librarian is simply to serve the library. We're meant to fade into the background, I suppose.
Of course, that is true. But still, you are no longer a librarian anymore, are you?
No. No, I've left books behind for a bit.
For what? What are you doing now?
I spent some time back among my own people, and learning some of their secrets. Or, I suppose, learning how to better channel the secrets that I already carried.
Ah, you are fae-touched?
Sariel would nod.
Interesting. That doesn't seem good enough. Can...
He starts to grasp at his chest a little bit and says,
tell me something interesting that you like to do.
He smiles in a pained fashion.
Can I roll another insight or perception? Is this dude, like, having a heart attack on me, or...?
Insight. Drop it.
Drop it. It was a 13 for insight.
He's clearly not in any physical pain. It seems like he's just desperate for something.
Weird and also creepy.
And he's also trying not to look desperate, but failing pretty hard.
Oh no! He's desperate. He's desperate for information and memories. It's the eye. It's the eye all over again. Oh god, no. Is it the eye all over again? Damn it. Sariel will look thoughtful, because not considering that she should probably be careful what kind of information she gives away. She hasn't had someone just straight up ask what a thing she likes to do is in a long time. Maybe ever.
On its face, despite his stammering and twitching, he's being very polite and seems genuinely interested in getting to know more about you.
Oh no, multi-layered situation.
On its face, at least, like the words and intonation.
Yeah, I suppose she'll just say out loud, I don't think anyone's ever sincerely asked me that. I suppose I've been traveling a lot. I've made some interesting friends, and we've had some interesting adventures. But it's, and she'll pause, good, I think, to be back home.
As you finish this statement, his demeanor changes entirely, and he leans back and sighs and says, That's very interesting. So we're finished with this small talk. Why did you want to talk to me?
I'm weighing how direct I want to be. And I don't think I want to be terribly direct. Basically, I would like to express that I have been away for so long and so many things have changed. And that because his school is a new one, but he is also a familiar face, that it seemed like visiting him would be a good place to start to get my finger back on the pulse of Zulgrata.
Ah, planning to stay a while, are you? Well, I'm afraid I'm not the newest school, but I may be a familiar face. I'm certainly not the student you remember. I'm a master of the arcane now. He looks around, trying to think of something impressive to do, and he says, is there anywhere in the world that you've always wanted to go?
When I was a librarian, the only place I wanted to go was out into the world, and I suppose I've done a little bit of that.
Well, have you been to the Sirik Highlands?
No, I haven't.
Good. He smiles at you and starts chanting and facing one of his bookshelves, and then taps his cane on the ground, and a portal opens in the wall, just in the fabric of space. Through it, you can see
a forest blanketed in snow. The room is suddenly filled with frigid wind and errant snowflakes fluttering about.
Oh my, that is quite impressive.
Here, come through. He holds out his hand and steps halfway through. It's a bit brisk, but we won't be there long.
Sariel is visibly reluctant.
He clearly notices this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I just wanted to show off, you know. He steps back through and makes a circle with his cane, and the portal closes.
He looks kind of uncomfortable and scratches his head. Well, I suppose if there's anything else you need of me, that's fine, but I should get back to work.
Not to take more time out of what I'm sure is an extremely busy day, but would it be possible to have a small tour?
Oh, of course, yes. He stands back up again, walks to the door, and starts leading you around. The school, as you have occasionally had to deliver books and go and collect them and the like, you've been to a bunch of these schools before. And for the most part, it seems pretty average. I mean, as average as a arcane academy can be. There is a lowered kind of like a pool area, an empty pool, where people practice evocation magic, where there's a lot of like shattered stone and fire scars and things like that. Other rooms, there's clearly wax all over the walls and the floor because things get messy in here.
Oh no.
There is a small personal library that clearly has a sense of ambition in it because it's only half full. Like, you know, one day we will fill these shelves with rare tomes kind of thing going on.
Right.
He seems a little bit embarrassed about that, but he's like, just give it time. As he introduces you to some students, they all seem kind of like, whoa, who's this? Why am I being introduced to this random elf lady? But they're all very polite. There's a small dorm off to the side for the students who need more rigorous training. And when you head in there, the students all appear to be meditating. And he looks inside and sees that that's happening and pops back out. I don't think we should interrupt.
Cyril would nod in agreement.
He brings you back to the entrance, and overall he has a pretty impressive operation going on here. He probably has about 50 students, ranging from, you know, 11 years old to 20 years old.
Okay. I would thank him for the tour.
He seems pleased to have had a chance to show off after his first attempt spooked you. He very graciously walks you to the gate this time and bids you good day and then steps back inside.
Not a whole lot in the way of leads there. At least not yet. Now I know the layout of the school, at least.
Mm-hmm. Scoped it out real good.
About what time of day is it?
Probably almost lunchtime. If you want to take actions that take multiple days, you can do them. Like, if you want to take more generic actions, because you've got a while.
And that's something I'm trying to, like, process.
Now that you've gotten a sort of a feel for the town, for the city, and what you may have a suspicion or two, set a direction that you want to start searching in and sort of generally how you're doing it, and then we'll talk about that.
Sariel knows that these schools are making packs, and she knows that these students are being shipped off and their education continued, despite being partnered with demons. Oh, and I should have written it down. What was the place that Silas said he saw that mage?
Oh, Ambergrad. And you know that's a city about, like, 4 or 5 days' ride east. It's near the center of the Empire. Whereas Lograda is, like, right on the border.
And then I've got goblin buddies that I can potentially use to gather information.
Mm-hmm. You want to hire a crew of goblins to go, like, follow his students around or something like that?
So Sariel knows something is up. She doesn't know quite what. And she doesn't have the rest of her little troop to back her up. But she does have some goblin buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's relatively low risk to have them just kind of shadow some of his students, maybe?
Wait, hold on. Are you asking them as yourself, or are you asking them as the Sariel?
Asking them as myself. It would be something that I would pay for.
Okay, so you head back and you discuss this prospect with them, and...
Yeah, I would buy, like, a couple loaves of decent bread to kind of pay for my lodging the night before, and as we nibbled on it, I'd propose my deal.
They seem amenable. They basically say they will not break into anybody's house
or
do anything like that. They basically set lines that are pretty reasonable, like, we won't break any laws doing this.
I wouldn't want them to. Absolute worst case scenario, if you think something's happening, peek through a window. But stay safe, first and foremost.
You have a small gaggle of maybe 12 goblins around you who all nod in unison and scurry off into the night with their bread and coppers. Over the next day, what do you do yourself? You've got your goblin information network out there, but what are you doing?
I think my time would be split between the stacks and finding out what I can about what sort of demons might be making deals and connecting or reconnecting with people.
Okay. Over the next couple days, you are sort of looking through the stacks, finding books on possible extraplanar creatures, and there are some ones that are known. And it seems like those are no good because the Ofsal has tabs on them. They have magesses whose jobs are to make sure nobody makes deals with, you know, Glavazu, demon of the deep. And because they know his name and they know who he is, if you, like, try to make a deal with them, they can find you.
Like, swat your hand. No. Bad.
Yeah. More like SWAT in general. They bust in and kill you. or arrest you.
Yeah.
But it seems like all the known ones are no good. And as you're in the library, you notice a couple weird things. One, there are just less students in here than when you worked here. But after pretty minimal inquiries, you find that, like, the grand selection of small schools around the library has grown by maybe fourfold.
Interesting.
As you're connecting with other people, do you go to dinner or lunch with Silas or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you go to his estate and meet up with his family?
Oh gosh, it's probably the proper thing to do. Yep, at least one night.
You get paraded around for a little while and get handshakes from a bunch of people. The kids are like, who's that? We don't care. but a lot of the older hobgoblins are like, oh, it's such a pleasure to meet you. And they say there isn't loyalty amongst your people and like all this stuff. And Silas seems to have a grand old time. But your shadow government, your shadow ninjas report back to you that as they're following the students, that the students who are in the school board outside of the school pretty much just do that every day. They go to the school, they practice, they train, they do get lessons. And sometimes they go to the library. It seems like all of them make at least one stop to the library over a couple days. But they talk about the students who are boarding there and that they say they almost never leave. And the ones who do leave and go to, like, bars and talk to people at night.
That is good to know.
But they've only been watching for a couple days.
Right, right. Sariel would get the names of bars. Does there seem to be, just over the couple days, does there seem to be any pattern to it?
No, it's only been a couple days. So they've only left at night when it's high bar time, and each one of them has gone to a different bar each time. And they haven't hung out with the same people, apparently.
Well, that's definitely a lead.
When you're getting this breakdown from all of them as they all chatter around you, and eventually you get, like, a straight story from each one of them and put it together yourself, you realize that, like, one of them has pretty bad bruising along its chest, where a guard clearly, like, kicked it really hard.
Oh no! Cure wounds that poor baby.
As you do this, they all look up at you like wide-eyed and then make little cat whiskers on their face.
No! Not helping my cause.
Asariel has sent you to us!
No!
Because you haven't actually told them your name, have you?
Nope.
They call you the lady.
I need to start working under an assumed name.
Like... you do have an assumed name. It's the lady. Okay. So, what are you having them doing?
Ask them to focus more on just the dorms. Gosh. As I'm rubbing elbows, are there other schools that people are whispering about?
There are a couple of other schools, but you get pretty conflicting reports about them. And it seems like no one's willing to say outright that any place is deliberately doing anything.
Right.
But they will, as you're at parties, you overhear, like, well, you know those people. But then, like, the next time you're somewhere, they're like, someone's talking about how great that school is. But this one that you're at has a universally shady reputation. Like, people are constantly like, oh, you know good Etan. He flunked out of this other school, and then he got picked up by Etnis's school, and now he's doing so well. I wonder why that is. And then everyone's like, and then they, like, move on to a different subject.
Okay, I'll ask Goblin Buddies to just kind of keep an eye on the dorm. Don't do anything risky. If anything, be even more careful about that.
I ran through the street. I was not looking.
Oh no.
They get their orders to keep their eyes on the dorm crew. What are you doing for the next couple days, in general?
I am...
Do you want to perhaps do a more direct version of sleuthing?
Yeah, I'm debating, squirreling it up, lurking around the premises myself.
And this is at Etnis's school?
Yeah.
Okay. When the night... Well, are you doing it during the day or are you doing it at night? I'm just curious. Or are you just sort of sleuthing around and then at various times of day as an inconspicuous squirrel?
Various parts of the daytime, not so much at night.
You are much better at surveillance than the goblin ninjas are.
you do catch the goblins, like, standing on each other's shoulders five high, trying to, like, peek over the wall before someone comes, and they sort of collapse in a heap and scurry into a different street because they don't want to be seen.
Oh, no.
But as a squirrel, you get into the compound, no problem. You scurry over the wall, and you see a lot of what you expect from it, but the students in the dorm hall, as you scurry over the wall in squirrel form, you sit watching them for an hour, and they meditate. And you watch for 2 hours, and they meditate. You, like, leave, change, come back as a squirrel, and watch again, and they're still meditating. And at some point, Aro comes in and puts a hand to each of their foreheads, and they seem to, like, snap out of it, and groggily go to the small mess hall that they have. It's more like a tidy kitchen with a small table, and they go and eat and drink and relieve themselves, and then come back and sit back down, and they begin to chant and do sigils in the air. And as this is happening, you feel a moment of everything is terrible here, and then it goes away, and they begin to meditate.
Do I recognize any of the sigils?
Roll an arcana.
That is a 4 in arcana. I don't recognize shit.
You, in fact, go back to the library and start looking through stuff, trying to remember and find anything similar to this, and it's in no normal text, and you don't know it offhand.
I've been rubbing elbows for about a week now. Is there anyone who I might have heard of that specializes in real obscure stuff that I might be able to ask about this?
You get recommendations for, like, 18 different schools.
Oh, no.
They're the master of what they do. They excel in all the schools of magic. Like, a bunch of people just sort of pimping out their family's school. One thing that your ninja crew tells you as they are watching the dorm folk as they go out bar crawling at night is that now that they are focused on them, they find out that, like, these people, these guys and girls, and these are all sort of late stage students. They're all, like, late teens and a couple of early 20s somethings, which is at the point where other schools would have let them go and just been like, if you haven't passed your trials already, you're just not worth their time. But when they go out, they are basically buying people drinks and talking to them all night. And some of the goblins say that, like, it's weird because conversations are really one-sided. They just keep asking questions.
This legitimately is starting to be reminiscent of the Eye. I feel like I'm at a little bit of a dead end. Like, I know there's just, I'm one little piece of information away from being able to put this together.
You are also aware that you are somewhat running out of time. You've probably got another 2-day period before you have to start heading back and when people will begin to expect you back in Black Hill.
Right, right.
You've got 2 more generic actions to try to gather information while you're here.
Ah!
You can do it, I believe.
Ah.
I think you've done really well so far, actually. Don't worry about it.
So I know the sigils, but I don't know anyone who knows the sigils. Can maybe find somebody, but it's kind of hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the description of what they're doing. There doesn't really seem to be any point in trying to intercept them at the bar. They're probably just going to be really focused on being the ones that ask the questions. It might be worth it, though. Maybe. For one of my generic actions, I think I am going to try to find a specialist. And it's going to have to be this weird mix of finding someone who's above board but has information that is very, very obviously, like, you're probably not supposed to have this. I don't know.
That sounds pretty tough. It's going to require a role. And you're getting this information by asking around subtly, I assume?
Asking around subtly, kind of like cross-referencing what people are saying, like, oh, this person's very obviously just, you know, trying to get me to talk to their sisters, aunts, best friends, teacher.
Okay, that sounds like an insight to me, to, like, try to collate all the information you're getting from different people and what they mean by it.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
I was so scared that was going to be a critical fail. I critically succeeded with a 27 in insight.
But wouldn't it have been fun to go right to the center of the conspiracy and be like, hey bro, what do you know about this conspiracy?
And that's why Sariel never came back from Zilgrada.
Exactly. So you get recommended to a man who is not here. He's not in town right now. His name is the Baron Hattisil. He runs one of the older, more prestigious schools. You've realized that he is universally given the stamp of approval by randos at parties. And also that he has a black mark on his record that he proved wrong. People accused him of doing demon stuff, and he was able to take it to basically arbitrating it and prove that he knew things about demons, but he was not consorting with them.
Nice.
When you go and get an invitation to his school and the you know that Baron Hattisil is much older, you find out that he was actually on a trip doing something very important for the school and that he would be back in a month or so. But as you delicately ask around if the headmaster in charge knows anything about the sigils that you saw, he just, like, under his breath, just brought on by emotion, he's like, that is what he is trying to stop. But then he realizes that you heard and ushers you out very quickly.
Oh my. Do I know where the Baron is at the moment?
In this moment, as you are trying to figure this out, and it seems like he left under cover of darkness, he went west. That's what people know. But then you realize that you are going to have to start going if you're going on foot. But you're like, maybe I can stay a little bit longer and really suss this out when Galena shows up on a ship.
Oh no.
And seeks you out in town and tells you a story where she says she ran into a guy who was picking up a shipment of silver wires, and he was in the weird stone keep that she was at, buying this from a trader that she knew, and is now headed back to Black Hill, she thinks.
So, just to be clear on this, she thinks the Baron is headed back to Black Hill?
Yes, the Baron Hattisil.
Gotcha, okay.
Galena's just like, I just wanted to see what your home was like, and walk back with you, which now she's forced your hand, because now you have to leave.
Gosh darn it. Okay.
Or you could send her out by yourself.
No. I'll go with her. It seems like I've exhausted what I can do here. Would it be possible to bargain for one more day?
Anything that's not like an extended action, I'm fine with.
I also feel kind of bad that I didn't heckle Yvonne more.
You can always just say that you occasionally, when you were in the library, like, left books out while she's looking.
Just like make eye contact, pull a book off the shelf, set it on the table, moonwalk out of the room.
Or you could be like even worse and like just wait till she's coming and then be looking at a book and be like, who misfiled this?
Oh no. Maybe once or twice.
Just whenever you saw her coming. It was never a planned thing. It was always a spur of the moment. Okay, so what are you doing with your last day as you kind of show Galena around? Or right before Galena shows up?
With that piece of information, I think I'm just going to kind of wrap things up. Pull the goblins off the job. Make sure they're paid up. Bring them some nice bread and some jerky. Some good jerky.
You realize that they are now wearing more reasonable, you could actually call them clothes. And don't look quite as emaciated as you've spent a week with them and they have been eating.
Poor little buddies.
Okay, goblins are off the job. What else?
Touch bases with Silas. Thank him for his time and for his hospitality. Give him hugs.
He seems bummed that you're leaving, but wishes you well and gives you a small loaf of these little bun pastries, a little basket of them.
Aww.
And it's, you know, the family recipe, so it brings you back.
Yeah, delicious nostalgia treats.
To that one time you snuck a bite.
Delicious forbidden nostalgia treats.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. They probably fed you fine.
Man, is there anything, like, kind of official I want to do? I've got my lead. Goblins aren't standing up stacked five high outside of windows anymore.
Yes.
I think before I go, I'll take one last look through the stacks, because that was the other thing I was doing. And I'll just try to find the oldest, most arcane book that I can safely handle.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I can turn up anything.
Okay. So, to do this, you are basically sneaking into the archives, the books that aren't supposed to be handled even by students without special permission. How do you sneak in there?
I would get as far as I could, just with my normal permissions, and find a place to... I guess I should just ask, am I just out of time to get permission?
Yes. You okay. mention it to Silas, and he got you into the library because you have permission, and by the time anybody came to be like, hey, you let that lady in, he would be able to show the papers and be like, no, she's fine.
Right, right, right.
But he says there's a whole vetting process before you can go in there. I'm afraid I can't risk it. My family's run this library for too long for me to mess it up now. I wish I could help you.
No, very, very, very understandable. So I would squirrel it up and try to sneak in.
Okay, you squirrel it up and try to sneak in. There are just like brass bars around this area. And you remember from when you worked here that there is a magical field around this place that keeps things from rotting. And it's not healthy to be in there for too long because it has strange effects on people who are still alive.
Yee.
But too long is like, just don't spend too many days in there within the same month.
Gotcha.
Could you roll a perception?
Gosh darn it. I rolled an 11 in perception.
You get into the section, you become a elf again. You walk to the this arcane tome, which it doesn't have a name, but it's rumored to be written by the Empress when she was first learning the arcane arts, and is unedited. And you begin to flip through the pages delicately pinched between your fingers, and you do see the arcane gestures that those students were using. And you see that it's a form of augury. It is requesting a response from a being on another plane, requesting a communication between oneself and another, along with some protective gestures, specifically to protect the mind. And as you're leafing through, just putting this together, you hear a voice behind you.
Uh-oh.
You turn around and Tellyuvan is there, swinging the keys in her finger. This is just too choice. You're going to lose every access you have over this, if not your head.
Hello, Yvonne.
No begging? Don't you know what situation you're in?
Over the last couple months, I've probably been in considerably worse.
She scoffs and starts walking to the side of the room. I'm trying to think of something I should ask you for. I feel like I've never been in such a position of power before. Maybe I'll just call the guards. And she, like, does a loud inhalation.
Wait?
Yes?
Internally, I'm trying to decide if I should try to bribe her or reason with her. She really seems to hate me.
You don't have to incite that, yes. And you also just owned her in front of all of her subordinates, so that didn't help.
She started it.
She did. No, you started it by coming back here. No, this is all happening like, slow-mo. Like,
Sariel
thinks faster than we do.
Yeah. Sariel has a better read on the situation.
But you do recognize that this is bad.
Yeah. I'm gonna struggle to words it correctly, but basically I want to convey, like,
You're aware that you've got one chance at this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm leaving. I'm about to be completely out of your hair.
I think, just out of character, I think I'm leaving and I'm never coming back is probably the only persuasion she would take besides, like, real hardcore bribery.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to do a combination of that. It's like, I'm leaving, and I don't plan on being back. Things will be a lot simpler if you just let me go, and I'm sure there's some way I can compensate for the inconvenience you've experienced.
All right, drop a persuade as you try to convince her not to call the guards.
I rolled a 6.
Oh, so you think I'm simple, do you? You think I can't handle complex things? And she hollers out, guards! Someone's defiling the Empress's artifacts! And you start to hear boots pounding outside, and she just, like, smiles at you.
Squirrel. I squirrel, and I bolt back the way I came.
Okay. Roll a stealth as you attempt to avoid all the incoming guys, who would probably balk at a squirrel running through the stacks.
11.
There are a surprising amount of military around here. They are running through the stacks, and you are running atop them, you know, bounding from one to another, and you unfortunately make a bound right in front of, like, 4 guys who are running down the perpendicular pathway, and they see a leaping, flaming red squirrel fly through the air and skitter on the polished wood as it makes a break for the exit, and they hear in the distance, "What in the Empress's name? She turned into a squirrel?" And you are now in a pursuit with guards behind you. But I'm going to say it's pretty easy for druids to get away. you lead these men on a merry chase, but at some point there is actually a degree of men who are out for you specifically. You hear soldiers marching by and telling other soldiers, keep your eye out for an elf of this description. Her name is Sariel.
Damn. At this point, my only goal is to just evade. If we ever have to come back here, I'll deal with it. She mm-hmm. obviously hated me and is telling crazy lies. A squirrel got into the stack, she's making shit up.
You know what? That's entirely possible. Like, you might be able to get out of this okay. Although it is weird that you just, like, disappeared right afterwards.
No, I already said my goodbyes.
You did say your goodbyes. Yes.
That's crazy.
I'm looking forward to that moment. But you pop down on Galena's shoulder as a squirrel as she's eating some local cuisine and tell her that it's time to go. And she just tucks you into her bag and you guys walk out of the city and begin to head back to Black Hill. And we will wrap for the evening.
With that, Sariel's aerial view of Zul'Grada's educational system reveals something fishy is afoot. Can she squirrel her way out of this one, or will she have to bear the consequences? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
Okay, bookkeeping stuff. You get to acquire 2 more forms just while you're doing this, because you are going to have a lot of time on the way there and the way back to just observe animals and stuff.
I'd like to get something that's completely aquatic.
Okay, you were right next to a river, so anything that's reasonable, like up to an alligator, I guess.
Well, I mean, you're going to offer the alligator. I guess a fish. It's like a trout, I guess. I suppose.
Yeah, something that can do both seawater and freshwater.
Yeah.
That's smart. Okay. And then for the other one?
I think I'm going to take another flying form. I think I'm going to go with a crow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I feel like there are crows around cities constantly, and now that you feel comfortable with the idea of flying in the form, you take a moment while you're walking around Zul'Grada to really observe the crows being little intelligent jerks, hassling goblins usually.
Oh no.
As the goblins run away from them with their little stickly arms waving in the air.
Oh no. It's going to be the next step of the Church of Cat, is we're going to teach the goblins to teach the crows.
Oh no. Then they'll have a pantheon of gods to pray to. What's the name of Gij's crow?
I don't think Gij...
What do you call him, Wallace?
He wanted to have a crow named Muddy. I know that. I don't know if he's currently, like, named...
He named his swarm of crows something. I forget, but...
Crow swarm was Frederick.
Okay, yeah. They will pray to the Sariel and Frederick.
Oh, no.
Okay, cool. Yeah, when you get back, you will have those forms available to you. I think crows can, like, imitate sounds they've heard before. So if somebody, like, talks nearby you, you can, like, fly as a bird over their window and imitate that exact conversation.
Oh my, that will be useful.
In their voice. And as a trout, you can swim forever in any kind of water without drowning. So that's good times. And also eat small bugs.
Delicious, delicious bugs.
Mmm. All right, that's it. Thank you.
Nice.
That was fun. I enjoyed that immensely. I was worried your librarian bully wasn't going to get a chance to, like, come back and be mean.
We'll have it out another time. I'm not willing to surrender my library access.
Last boss fight.
People saw us fighting. Like, no, she's nuts. She's got it out for me. I don't know what she's talking about. Turn into a squirrel? That's crazy talk. Who do you have running this library now? Give me my old job back.
That would be pretty great. She's like, no, no! She's being dragged out. I swear. He turned into a squirrel right in front of me. That was good.
Yeah.